this message. We're wrapping it up this week. We're talking about the church being on the red carpet, and I'm coming to the last message. The church is full of hypocrites. I love that song. You know, I like a statement I read in a book's written in another church, and I like his promotion. He says, his church, there's no perfect people allowed. Because we're really not perfect. And since I'm not perfect and I say I'm a Christian, does that make me a hypocrite? If I say I'm trying to live the Bible, I'm trying to do what God says, does that make me a hypocrite when I fail, when I fall, when I don't measure up, when I, let's use the ugly word, sin? Does that make me a hypocrite? And I think that's a challenge. You know, because I hear those accusations from those outside the church. That the church is just full of a bunch of hypocrites. And I hear that. I'm sure you may have heard that. I've heard that accusation inside the church. I've heard us as Christians say, oh, so-and-so's just a big hypocrite. They're not, and we're judging others. I even one time wrote an article that all Christians are hypocrites. I wrote it, it was in a newspaper when I pastored in Willits. Now, I look back on that, and I'm going, well, is that really true? Are we really hypocrites? Is that what we think about the Christian faith? I got another video I want you to watch. Would you watch this video?
I think some Christians are hypocritical, the ones at my school, because most people will say that they're a religion. A lot of people will say that they're Christians. Yeah, I actually have a really good friend who claims to be really hardcore Christian, but he smokes weed all the time and drinks and does all these things and lies, and he's just not a Christian at all.
A lot of Christians are just like hypocritical in what they do. They don't really practice what they preach.
I read the Bible a few times, and I don't remember the hate part, the kill your neighbor part.
Say things to me like, oh, you don't believe what I believe, you're going to hell, but then they'll drink.
What do you think? I mean, are Christians really hypocrites? Do we really get this image of this is who Christians are, and yet we don't measure up? I mean, we've watched all the down. I had some video I was going to show, and I let my wife preview it, and she said no. But it was just showing all the Christian leaders who have fallen. I mean, you cannot believe. It's on the internet. I mean, it's just one right after another, all these great Christian leaders, men that have been on TV, that have large churches, and it showed them on all the things that happened to them. You know, are Christians really just a bunch of hypocrites? So what I want to do this morning is kind of, are we? You know, am I really a hypocrite? Is that really true? So let's begin with a definition. I gave it to you here. It's going to be on the screen. I want you to look at this definition of a hypocrite, and let's kind of say, are we really hypocrites? A person who pretends to have virtues, moral or religious beliefs, principles, etc., that he or she does not actually possess, especially a person whose actions belie stated beliefs. All right? You pretend you have these virtues. Number two, a person who feigns some desirable or public approval, approved attitude, especially one whose private life, opinions, or statements belie his or her public statements. The word I want you to circle the word pretends. Hypocrite is someone who pretends to be something they are not. A hypocrite is someone, let's put it in some terms that maybe we might have used or you may have heard, somebody that is two-faced. You ever talk about somebody who's two-faced? You know, somebody that's two-faced or somebody that has double standards. You know, somebody that has those double standards, but they're pretending to be something they're not. And so I want to really dwell on that. Am I pretending to be something I am not? If I am, I'm a hypocrite. I'm not living like God wants me to. I'm not living like what I say I'm supposed to live like. So therefore, am I really a hypocrite? I want you to look at what Jesus has to say. Look at what Jesus says here. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples. Okay, make sure you know he's talking to the crowds and his disciples. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sat in Moses' seat. So you must obey them. Do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. He's saying, now, the church, let's put it in today's term. He's saying the church is preaching, this is how you're supposed to live, but they're not living what they're preaching. We have a way of saying that. You don't practice what you, what? You don't practice what you preach. You know? And we see this in our world today, and we see this challenge. There was a study, and as I looked at this, they asked people, you know, do you know a Christian? And 80, I put this right down here, 89% of people say, I know a committed Christian. But only 15% said that person is different because of their faith. We're on this red carpet. The world is watching us on this red carpet. What do they see? Here's something you need to understand. The world really doesn't have a problem with hypocrites. You need to know that. The world really doesn't have a problem with hypocrites. See, what's important in that world, think about it. You look at Facebook and all this stuff out there. What's important is that world is the image you portray. And the world out there says your image is really what's important. Your image is really what counts. In order to keep that image up, sometimes that persona out there in the public is different than the persona who you really are. And so they really don't have a problem with hypocrites because they expect it. They just expect everybody to be a hypocrite. Because you want this image out there for everybody to see, but then you get your real self over here. You are pretending. And really, I want to tell you, it was really amazing as I researched for this message that many in the world do not care about you being a hypocrite or not. They expect us to be hypocrites. They expect Christians, because you got to uphold this image. You got to live this certain life. You got to look this certain way. They really don't care until you come to share Jesus. Until you come to invite them to church. Until you come to share with them about Christianity. Then the stakes are raised. Because even though they don't care and they expect people to be hypocrites, they admire those who are not. They value people with standards. They expect people to be hypocrites, but they value people with standards. And see, what's that saying to us as a church is, when we act hypocritical, they expect it. When we don't, we are different. We will catch their attention. Without even saying a word, I can catch the world's attention. They will notice something different. They will notice something in my lives. Here's what I'm saying. You got your little outline there. I put it this way. Our lives don't match our beliefs. They don't. I say, I'm a Christian. I'm your pastor. I'm going to live by what this book says. With the exception of patience, okay? That makes me what? Really? Am I pretending if I say this? Am I pretending to be something that I'm not? See, we need to step back and see the world is watching. Now, I got this red carpet down here, but I want to tell you, you might be standing on the blue or sitting in the blue section. You're on the red carpet. Your neighbors, when they seen you drive out of your driveway this morning, they know where you went. They know where you're at. You're on the red carpet. See, we live on this red carpet, and are we really hypocrites? What do you think? I mean, are we really? We have this gap. If you look at your outline, I put it this way. I have a lifestyle gap. See, I have this lifestyle gap. There's a gap between what the Bible says and what I want to be and who I am. There's this gap. You know, am I schizophrenic? Some of you are going, yeah, you really are. Because we have this, and how do we fight this? How do we live this? I mean, do we really think about this in our lives? And hear this. Now, here's what the study has found. I wrote it down so I'd make sure I got this right. Here's where Christians do better at going to church. Can you believe that? That's a given one to me. Christians do better at owning Bibles. That sounds good to me. Christians do better at donating to the nonprofits. That sounds good. Christians do better at helping the poor and the homeless. We do better. Christians are doing better. But Christians do about the same in sexual encounters before and after marriage. Christians do about the same when it comes to looking at explicit sexual magazines. And I'm not just talking about Playboy and Penthouse. I'm talking about, you know, that one that comes in the mail that has that store at the mall called, what is that? Huh? Oh, Victoria's Secrets. Yeah. I'm going to talk about a magazine that some guys I see take called Maxim. Yeah. Oh, Christians. Christians use illegal drugs just as much as those outside. You heard the girl telling the testimony. Christians say just as mean as things as those outside the church say mean things. Christians lie just as much as those outside the church lie. It's amazing. We say we're Christians and look, we look just like everybody else. We put this mask on. We put this image on. And we portray this, that this is who I am, and I'm this Christian. I am like Christ. That's what Christian means. I'm a little Christ. Am I? Or am I a hypocrite? What does it say? Look again at what Jesus said here. I want to have it put this way. Look at what Jesus says. Jesus replied, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.'" We'll say the right things, and yet we live whatever we want. We behave, we act, we say, we do whatever we want. And Jesus calls us a hypocrite. You know, am I really a hypocrite? I want you to keep thinking about, am I really a hypocrite? You know, is that who I am? Is that what I look like? See, we've set up these rules. Here's where the problem comes. And I blame us as church and as Christians. The problem is we have set up Christianity as a bunch of rules. This is what Christianity is. It's rules. Here's your rules and here's your regulations. And we've set ourselves up for failure. Because, see, I believe Christianity is more than just rules and regulations. See, I believe Christianity is not a bunch of do's and don'ts. Anybody agree with, anybody on board? It's not about here's what you do, here's what you don't, therefore you are a Christian. I think Christianity is about a relationship with a loving, caring God and what God does in our eyes. But see, here's where the problem comes, and Jesus identified it really well. Again, he calls it, and then look what he says as he talks to someone. Look at the scripture. "How can you say to your brother, 'Let me get the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly, remove the speck out of your brother's eye." I brought a plank. You know what we're good at? We're good at hiding our plank. Am I tall enough to hide it? Huh? Am I tall enough to pretend it's not there? Come on. See? Yeah. We look around at everybody else and we see their lives and we're walking around with this thing sticking in our eye, maybe out of our head. Don't hit yourself in the head with it. You know, and we live this life with this plank. And we're trying to get the speck out of the eyes of those that are out there. What does he say to do? Get the plank out of your eye. You know, get the stuff in your life. Take care of those things in your life. We need to first address it. Am I really a hypocrite? What can I do about it? How do I deal with it? How do I deal with this thing that's sticking in my eye? And what are we supposed to do? And so I'm going to give you two really quick things here. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a reading assignment this week, all right? I was going to give you one, but I'm going to give you another one. I should give you two. I got the guys in our little home group that we're meeting on Monday morning. We're reading John, the Gospel. I want to challenge you to read 1 John this week, okay? Go home and read 1 John. It's only, I think it's four or five chapters. I think it's five, to be honest with you. I'm not going to try to do five chapters, one chapter a night. You can finish it in 5 days. Go home and read 1 John. 1 John really deals with how do you get this thing out of your eye? How do you quit being a hypocrite? That's what John does. 1 John is really good at this. 1 John, I've always felt this is where the rubber meets the road for the Christian life. So we're going to look at some of these passages in 1 John, and my challenge to you is it's Easter time. You do need to read the Gospel of John, but also I want you to read 1 John and see how he wrestles with this idea about hypocrisy and sin in our lives and what he does. So how do I deal with it? So here's what I'm put it this way. I'm going to close the lifestyle gap. All right? I'm going to close this gap. All right? Now, as I go through this, you're going to find something really interesting. I never can close the door completely, okay? We're going to get there. But how can I kind of close this gap a little bit more with what I say I am and who I am? How can I close that pretending? This is what I want to drive at. How can I close that pretending? So here's the first point. Cultivate a life of integrity and purity. All right? Start doing what you say. Isn't that pretty simple? I mean, just, I say I'm a Christian. I say I don't do these things. I do these things. I do it. Period. I'm going to make it real simple. Stop sinning, all right? Does that sound okay? Just stop. Stop going to those internet porn sites. Just stop. Stop buying those magazines. Stop. Stop smoking that joint. Stop. Stop lying. Stop. Stop cheating. Income tax. Stop. Hint, hint, all right? Getting close. All right? You know, stop. Stop bickering. Stop bike biting. Stop talking about having somebody's back. Stop lying. Stop taking what don't belong to you. Stop. I mean, you know, what more can I say? There was a great video clip on the internet. I just couldn't figure out how to use it. Some lady comes in to see Bob Newhart. Anybody like Bob Newhart? Anybody remember the Bob Newhart show? Come on now. Some lady comes in to see Bob Newhart. And she has some problems. And he goes, I can solve your problem real quick. No problem. Really easy. She sits down. He sits down. He says, it's going to cost you $50. She goes, okay. She tells him his problem. He tells him her problem. Lays it all out for him. He looks at her and says, stop it. Give me my $50. And she goes, it was only 2 minutes. She goes, I told you it's $50. Just stop it. She goes, well, what about this? Lays out another problem. He looks at her and says, stop it. Goes on for about 4 minutes, laying out product. All he's saying is, stop it. All I'm going to tell you is, stop it. Stop sinning. Make your life match what you say. Stop it. It's simple. Stop having affairs. Stop having sex before marriage. Stop taking prescription medicines that's not yours. Stop it. Does that make sense? You know, am I crazy? Some of you are going, yeah. Yeah. Look what God's word says. It's amazing. Look at what it says here. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. I want to make sure you catch what he's saying here. A practice of sinning. Just so you know, I know my Greek because I went to college and seminary and all that. That word there in Greek for sinning is what's called a present active indicative word. Told you a whole lot, doesn't it? Here's what it says. I'll make it in real plain English. Continual, habitual action. Stop continually, habitually, practicing sin. Just stop. Period. Stop. When you're born of God, stop practicing sin. Now, how easy is that? Now, anybody in my boat going to say, I struggle? Are you going to pretend, hint, hint, that you don't have a problem here? We're all frail. We all have faults. We all experience failure. But sin shouldn't be a continual habitual action. That's what he's saying. Look at this next passage to kind of give you a clear picture. Again, notice we're still in 1 John. Right after he says this, my dear children, I write to you that you may not sin. Now, again, this is a different word. This is an aorist word, all right? Kind of give you a little more subjunctive. I can give you some whole Greek teaching lesson here. But it's saying that you will not sin even once. But if anybody does sin once, we have an advocate, the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. This is what I love about John. John sits there and says, listen, don't make it a practice to sin. Stop sinning. But if you sin, not sinning, but if you sin, God's going to forgive you. Sin should not be a habit in the Christian life. That's what makes us a hypocrite. Not that I sin, but that I'm sinning. But am I really a hypocrite? Because I'm going to fall. I'm going to have trouble. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be hard. I mean, it is going to be hard. Because I am. I'm a human being. Now, you hear me joke all the time. I like the movie Mary Poppins. I watched it this week again, and I enjoyed it. Practically perfect in every way. You know, I always joke about that. You know, because I'm not perfect. You know, I want to get closer. I want to do better. I want my words to match my actions better, but I'm not. That's why I got to close the gap. I got to stop sinning. But here's the next step to get above hypocrisy. I put it this way. Live an authentic life of transparency. Live an authentic life of transparency. Here's what it is. Quit pretending. Quit putting on a mask. Quit faking it. Quit acting like something you're not. Just be yourself. This is one of the exciting things for me about being a pastor in this church. When I came to this church, I am so blessed because they've let me be me. All right? I don't have to put a mask on. I tell you some of my battles. I don't tell you all of them, but, you know, patience is one of them. Idiot drivers is another one. Yeah, I can just go down the line where I have my battles. Yeah. But I get to be me. I don't want to pretend. I don't want to pretend to be somebody I'm not. I don't want to fake, and I don't want to have a double standard, and then I got to worry, you know, because I'm going to tell you what, it catches up with you. I never, you know, as a pastor, it's so amazing. I go places, and everywhere I go, I usually run into somebody that knows me. I mean, I'll go down to Disney, I'll be walking down Disneyland, and there's the custodian and the head of maintenance in our school district walking down. We'll be walking down the road going into Disneyland, and there's Laura's boss walking towards us. I'll be walking down the streets of San Francisco working on my doctorate. Went to the street to eat. Make sure you know, I was going to school, but that night we went over to the city to eat. And we're walking up to the pier to eat, and who do I see? I see Francis and all some other people in our church. And it's like, man, I can't even hide. Yeah. But we try to hide. I don't want to pretend because no, you can't. I go to a thing called the Cantaloupe Festival and Fireball, okay? Anybody know where Fireball is? Much less the Cantaloupe Festival? I went to the Cantaloupe Festival and Fireball and ran up to one of the kids that grew up in Slide that played on my volleyball team. I can't even hide in Fireball. See, we got to quit. We got to take that mask off. I got to quit pretending. This is who we are. Look at what the scripture says here. If we say, notice it's 1 John. Make sure you're staying with me. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If I was to sit here and tell you that I don't sin, I am sure every one of you in this church could probably sit up and say, I seen you do this. I seen you say this. You know, I seen you walk out of church one time and throw your duffel bag. Yeah. We could say those things. If I say I'm perfect, there's enough people around Salida that say, Gary, you got a problem. We're all sinners. We're not perfect. We need to face the fact. Look at this next scripture. If we say we have not sinned, 1 John, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. I sure do not have enough courage, guts, whatever it is, to call God a liar, all right? So if God says I'm a sinner, I'm going to agree with him, all right? I ain't going to argue with him. Yeah, he's got it right, and I'm going to agree with him. See, but I need to face the fact. I need to face the fact that I got a plank in my eye. But most of us are ignoring it and trying to look at somebody else. And we're worried about somebody else. We're walking around with this big old honking thing sticking out of our eye going, ha, 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 I see you. And it's no wonder they look at us as hypocrites. It's no wonder they call us hypocrites. So here's what I'm going to advocate. We need to be open. We need to be honest. We need to say who we are. Look at what Paul says again. Look at what it says. James, excuse me. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Now, there needs to be some limits here, you know. I'm not going to get into all the things about confessing your sins. Whether what I really want to make the point is we need to be honest. All right? Now, there's a guy in the New Testament named Paul. Anybody know, you know, Paul? Paul? Anybody? Paul? Okay. Yeah, Paul wrote most of the New Testament, about 14 of the books out of the 27. All right, just to give you a hint. All right. Started most of the churches, Galatia, Rome, probably went to Spain. Maybe even went to Britain. We don't know. I mean, he, you know, did all this work. You know what Paul said about himself? Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. Is that being pretty open and honest? Paul sits there in the book of Romans and writes this. This is amazing. Gets confusing reading, but it's truth. Paul sits there writing in Romans. He goes, you know what? I can't figure this out. Why do I do what I do not want to do? And that which I do want to do, I do not want to do. I do. I get confused with all the I's, but it's in Romans chapter 7. You can read it yourself. It gets really confusing. But what Paul's saying, you know what? I want to do what God says. I want to do this, but somehow I just keep getting over here. See, for me, this is what takes us out of hypocrisy. When I keep pretending, when I'm not saying, well, this is who I am. You know what? I'm the perfect husband. You guys are laughing. Laura's just staring. Yeah. I mean, do we ever say things like that? Do we ever pretend? You know, I'm God's gift to mankind. And yet, when it comes to our frailties, when it comes to our battles, when it comes to our struggles, we don't confess them. We're not open. See, we come to church, and I'm really proud. I don't see too much, at least I pray, I don't see too much of this in our church, that people don't come to church wearing a mask. I think most of us will come pretty honestly. You know, we'll come, if we're hurting, we'll come pretty honestly. But I've seen them. Anybody know the people I'm talking about? You know, you know that person who puts that mask on? You know, that Sunday morning mask, then Monday morning, I got horns. Yeah. That's what the hypocrite's about. That's what God is talking about. And see, I want to challenge us not to be there. You know, I think, you know, just to give you an idea of some things I was thinking about as I wrote the message. You know, I think as a church, and I'm talking about not just our church, but the church. And yes, our church is included in that, okay? But I'm talking about Christianity. You know, I think there's some things Christians owe apologies for. You need to know that. I think there's some things in history that the church has had a part in that we need to apologize for. You know, I honestly, I, you know, I, I enjoy reading the Civil War, and you can't believe how much I've read on the Civil War. I think the church tried to defend that many times. I think we owe an apology for the Civil War, for slavery. I really do. I'm sitting here reading men who claim to be Christians defending slavery. And I think we owe an apology. There's something more. I want to bring it into today's term. This is something that has become more personal or more for me as I've seen it more and more. I think there's somebody else we owe an apology to as Christians and as a church. Women who've had abortions. We've made all sorts of accusations about them. Now, there's a time when we have to be accountable, all right? I'm going to be honest with you there. But they're victims too. And I think it's tragic that they carry this pain around and that the church has this image of women who've went through this experience. And like I said, it's touched me when I've sat and visited with young ladies and older ladies who've wrestled with some decisions they made in their past, and the church has not really reached out and touched them with the message of God's grace and God's love and God's compassion. I think another one for me is single parents, mothers. I've even seen Christians today, and a young lady gets pregnant. And instead of a church trying to minister and trying to reach and help, I've seen churches throw them out. And I've even been told, you need to know that, I've been told to discipline people. A young lady in this church one time who got pregnant before she got married because we had to set an example. I think we owe an apology to them. How difficult is it to raise a child as a single parent? I'm on a school board. I can tell you the kids who get in the most trouble, guess what? Come from single parent families. And instead of reaching out, we've had judgment. That's what hypocrisy is. And so I think there's things we owe an apology to that we owe an apology for as Christians. Now, again, there's a time when we have to be accountable and a time we have to stand for the truth. And I'm not going to water the truth down. You hear me? I said it this morning. You heard me say it. You got to honor the marriage bid before marriage and after. Your marriage vows count whether it's before marriage or after marriage. You can have an affair on your future spouse. Did you know that? But we also have to have that grace that when somebody slips and falls, that might not be my plank. That might not be what's in my eye. So I can judge them, right? Because it's different. That's there. See, I want to challenge us that as Christians, are there things that we wrestle with? One of the things, I grew up, and I'm going to go ahead, and I wasn't going to say this, but I just feel I need to now. Homosexuality. I grew up in a generation where homosexuality was looked very differently. Very differently when I was growing up. And I used to feel a way, and I still battle. How do I respond to this? How do I respond, and how do I minister, and how do I reach out to people who I feel are deceived by our world and by Satan? And yet not making them feel like they're stupid or something. I don't know. I don't know how to figure that one out yet. But how does God's grace work in that situation? These are battles that I wrestle with. I don't know about you. And how do we minister? And as a pastor, how do I respond? Because I've been asked, somebody had AIDS. Will I go and pray with them? Of course, I'm going to go pray with them. Yeah, I'll go into the home. I'll be there with them. How do we deal with this? See, I just want to challenge us. What I'm saying is we need to drop the mask. We got to quit pretending. Look at what it says here. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Why don't you circle that word? If you notice, that word was at the very beginning of the service. Anybody? Anybody? That's one of the nine. Okay, just to give you a hint, if you forgot, that's one of the nine. Keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted. See, do we owe some apologies? Do we need to reach out? Do we need to minister? Do we need to serve? Do we need to? Or do we got this mask on? I can't do that. I can't go there. I'm a Christian. I've been in some really, you know what? I've been bar hopping. I didn't drink, but I've been bar hopping. I walked somebody home from a bar one time drunk, 2 miles, middle of the night. I drove all night, got home, got a call, or really didn't go home, went someplace, and walked somebody home. Their wife went down and wanted them to walk them, and I walked them home all the way down, 2 or 3 miles down the road. It took us a couple of hours to get home at 1 o'clock in the morning. I've been into the Salida bar, one of the ladies in town. I met her down there one time and talked with her. A preacher going to the bar. What do we, now, how do we balance this? Am I a hypocrite? See, here's where I'm coming from, and here's what I want to make sure you know. Look at this last scripture. This is Romans. Look at how Paul wrestles with this. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Don't put yourself on a pedestal. As your pastor, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Never put me on a pedestal. That's just further for me to fall, okay? Because I guarantee you, there will be a time when I probably will disappoint you. I'll say something stupid. I'll do something dumb. Because I have faults. I have failures. I am not perfect. But I need to have an open and honest opinion about myself. So this is what I want to advocate this morning. This is what I want to challenge us with this morning. I want you to look at this last little fill-in. I'm not a hypocrite because I'm not pretending. Okay? I'm not a hypocrite because I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to pretend I'm perfect. I'm not going to pretend I don't make a mistake. I'm not going to pretend I don't sin. I'm not going to pretend I have faults. I'm not going to wear some mask. I'm not going to be one guy on Sunday and one guy on Monday. I'm going to get away with pretending. See, that's what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite isn't someone who makes mistakes. A hypocrite isn't a Christian who sins. That doesn't make you a hypocrite. It's when you pretend that it's not you. I got to own my sin. I got to own my plank. I got to be honest about my plank. I got to be transparent about my plank. See, the problem is the world out there wants to hear us. And I'm going to tell you, when you're on that red carpet, they want to hear you be honest about your battles. What are your battles? Where are your struggles? Are you struggling with pornography? Well, be honest about it. Those magazines, well, it comes in a brown paper wrapping. Nobody knows. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody knows. Probably the person you don't want to know the most. That's God. All right? See, we just got to quit pretending. So what I want to challenge us with, and this is what I do for me. Instead of trying to live a bunch of rules and regulations, instead of trying to do those do's and those don'ts, I found this for me works. If I try to do what's right, I'm too busy to do what's wrong. There's a bar down the street from Laura's house, Mom's house, and when it was always there. I love the title of the bar because it's a perfect title. Idle Hour. Idle time, it gets you in trouble. Am I right? It's a perfect name. See, I want to challenge us to live by the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm going to have them come out again. They're all just going to come rocking right on out again. Just all come out. And they're going to make us a line. Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, I guess, patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. I want to challenge you this week to be on the red carpet with these qualities. To drop that mask. To quit pretending you're somebody you're not. To quit pretending you're trying to be perfect. And to be honest with yourself. So here's what I want to do this morning. I'm going to put some pressure on you this morning. If you're going to drop the mask, and you're going to quit pretending, you're going to quit playing games, you're going to start pulling the plank out of your eye, would you stand up and say, I want these qualities in my life? Just stand up. Who's going to stand up and say, I want to be like this? This is what I want the world to see in me this week. I want the world to see me with these qualities. I want them to know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus cares for them, and that God wants them to be a part. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that you know our hearts. Lord, we don't want to pretend we're somebody we're not. We don't want to play games, Lord. We don't want to wear masks. Lord, we're frail human beings. We have faults and struggles and troubles and problems in life, Lord. The devil seeks to destroy us and to kill us. But Lord, you want to give us life. And Lord, as we look forward to this Sunday, I just ask that you'll inspire each of these to possess these qualities. That as they see their neighbors, the neighbors will see something different. That their coworkers will notice something different. That teller at the bank, that clerk at the store will see something different. That they'll see that there's something different because we've dropped the mask. We're not pretending. Lord, we want to be open. We want to be transparent. We want the world to know that in spite of all that we have done, that you are a God of grace and mercy. So I ask you to strengthen each one of these this morning. Lord, we're going to stand before the world this week as they talk about the sunrise service, as they talk about the resurrection of your son, as they hear all about it all week long as sunrise service, as Easter Sunday approaches. Lord, let us have and let us see joy and love and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and faithfulness and self-control. Let the world know that you live in our hearts. I pray your blessings upon each of these and each of their lives. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's our time.